How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Saturday replay, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Replays throughout the week as well. Wrestling Observer Live, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And we are here for 2 hours this afternoon, talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We have gotten to the point now where the phones start ringing before the show even goes on the air. All of our phone lines are lit up. We'll be starting to take those calls here in a few moments, but we do have news to talk about here on the program today. A lot of different things going on. Last night there was a UFC, the return of Mirko Krokop to UFC, defeating Gabriel Gonzaga with a series of elbows from inside the guard. Mirko Krokop is now undefeated in rematches in his career. We could talk about where that is headed. It wasn't exactly the most memorable UFC of all time. If you've got Fight Pass, you can head up there and check that out. But we'll talk about that here today on the program. And in addition to that, we've got Raw tomorrow. They are taping early in London at the O2 Arena. The show is not live. It is on tape delay tomorrow. There will be a match to determine the number one contender for Nikki Bella's Divas title leading into the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. We can talk about all of the matches on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view as well. A lot of news coming out of TNA in regards to wrestler pay. It is all over the internet today. We can talk about that here on the program as well. And hey, if you can't get enough of myself and Mike, Vinny V is on vacation today. He claims it's his last vacation until at least July, but he's gone. And so replacing him tonight on the Brian and Vinny Show is going to be Mike Sempervivi. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about on that show tonight. We will be reviewing SmackDown. SmackDown back on the docket this week, as well as New Japan on Access. Not going to be talking about those shows on this program here today, but if you want to talk about anything, open lines means open lines. Unscreen, no rules. Aside from no profanity. So behave yourselves, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Ryan Elver is here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So we're going to try something new here on the show today. We are going to open up the regular phone lines. The telephone number, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478, toll-free in the United States and Canada. And we'll start going to the phones here in just a moment. I know that a lot of people have been asking over the last couple of months, Brian, why aren't we doing the Skype line anymore? And the honest-to-God answer is, we usually get people calling throughout the show. And when I am taking calls on the Skype line, what happens is I get these Skype notifications coming up all throughout the show. And it is a huge distraction. And so I pretty much stopped doing the Skype line. But Sports Byline USA has a Skype line. And so what we're going to do is we're going to open up their Skype line. And our producer, Scott, will be fielding the calls. Be prepared to sit on the line for a while because we're probably going to get a list of names during each break. But if you would like to Skype in, if you live anywhere in the world and you don't normally get a chance to call into the show, now is your chance. The Skype line is Sports Byline 2. That is what you're going to Skype towards, Sports Byline 2. And we'll take some Skype calls in the throughout the rest of the show. We're going to give it a shot here today. If it goes well, we'll keep it up. And if it doesn't go well, it was a fun experiment. So once again, I'll be throwing that out, Sports Byline 2. Mike, what's going on here today?
The miracles of modern technology.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It really is.
What did you think of last night's UFC? Let's just start off with a little bit of news here. Mirko Krokop's win over Gabriel Gonzaga, losing two rounds, and then absolutely, rarely do you see a man get knocked out when he's laying on his back and he's got the other guy in the guard. It happened to Forrest Griffin once, and I just remember thinking, you know, it's called the guard for a reason. This is supposed to be your safest position to guard yourself from doom if you're defending. And Forrest managed to get knocked out. And Gabriel Gonzaga, a fourth degree black belt in jiu-jitsu, got knocked out from inside the guard by Mirko Krokop last night. Brutality.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he just looked exhausted. They had clinched up against the cage. Like you see, Gonzaga won the first two rounds, and Mirko, who was busted open over his left eye, I believe it was, You know, he had to do something that round because they weren't sure if it was going to open back up again. It was a 5-round fight, even though it was not for any title or any chance at a title or anything like that, but it was the main event. So it was going 5 rounds, and Mirko's corner told him, you've got to do something. And he certainly did something. They were up against the cage, and Mirko had hit him with an elbow, and Gonzaga had gone down, and I don't know if it was a mix of being hurt and tired or exactly what it was, but when Mirko went down into his guard after a little bit of a scramble, he went old pride days on him and just started hammering him with a couple of fists, but mostly elbows, and almost everything he threw connected in, and he was bouncing Gonzaga's head off the mat and made him look nasty. So he got his revenge for, God, what was it now, 8 years ago, whatever it was, they first fought, that Gonzaga got that highlight reel knockout that they, I believe, still show in the Teenage Wasteland, Baba O'Reilly Who video before the shows. I believe they still have that Gonzaga Crow Cop head kick in there. So he got a little bit of revenge out of that deal. Where you go next with Mirko? I don't know. He just probably
you
had
use him on the card whenever they're in the area.
That's Mirko, pretty actually, much it.
He mentioned last night, I'm getting afraid to fly. He drove in for this show and then drove out. So I think his idea is, let's avoid flying as much as possible. Obviously, if they book him for Las Vegas, he's going. But I'm sure he'd be very happy to just stay in a 500, 200-mile radius from his home and just fight whenever they're in the area.
Yeah, I'm sure if they give him enough money, he'll have no problem jumping on a plane. But, you know, he's not getting any younger, and the UFC is not running any less shows. Certainly not in Europe, as they're going to continue to bounce from country to country. So, it's pretty much all you can do with his name at this point, because nobody wants to see him try to fight Kane or anything like that. At least I would hope nobody would want that. So unless you get some bizarre run from Mirko like you got from Mark Hunt in the last year, you're just going to be using his name on shows and hoping he lays somebody out highlight reel style.
Should mention, by the way, if you call the toll-free number 855-478-4478, there is no call screener. So if you call and it rings and rings and rings and then disconnects you, or you get some weird voicemail, just keep trying, and eventually you're going to get on. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
It's someone who's very upset that you guys are starting off the show talking about Mirko Kolkop and Gabriel Gonzalez when Aja Khan...
Gabriel Gonzalez?
...a couple hours ago.
Who's Gabriel Gonzalez?
I said Gonzaga. You just don't listen.
I see. What about Aja Khan?
Well, Aja Khan just wrestled in Chicago at the Shimmer tapings just a couple hours ago and made a surprise appearance at yesterday's TV taping. And for all the old fans of the 90s All Japan Women's Wrestling, you should seriously check out this show, because the main event of the earlier taping today featured Aja Khan, Dynamite Kinsuke, Kimura, and
Kinsuke
against Kelly Slater, Nakagawa in her retirement match, Matsumoto and Ohata. And from what I hear, it was a hell of a match. And Kong's team won after Kong hit Nakagawa with her box and then dropped her on her head.
With her box?
And beat her in a... Yeah, she has a box that she takes. It's like, you know, Raven and his weapon.
I see. Like Al Snow and Head, coincidentally.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So she used the box and got the win, and Nakagawa did the honors in her retirement match, which is kind of a shame because she's still kind of young, and she's one of the best wrestlers I've seen as far as the women. But, they were tearing it up. You think Prazak would advertise Aja Khan on the show, but apparently he wanted it to be a surprise, and I guess that was a pretty big surprise.
Well, Ed, a lot of those Japanese women retired a lot earlier than she did back in the heyday. Mike, can you translate that match for me? I'm not sure Ed got all of those names right. I've not heard of Dynamite Kinsuke.
Dynamite Kinsai, it's I believe, and who was it, Yoshika Tomura? Ed, was that who it was?
He's long gone.
Well, that's probably for the best. That's hey, you know, when it comes to the women's promotion, Shimmer is my favorite of that group, and Dave Prazak does an awesome job, and those DVDs are excellent, and for good reason. Puts a lot of work into it, and unfortunately, that work gets bastardized every time Ed calls in and tries to talk about it.
I'm going to try and get Dave Prazak on the show in the next couple of weeks, and we'll talk to him about this, and And then I won't let Ed call in and ask him any questions, because I can only imagine the problems that would ensue there. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
Yes. I'm going to tell you about a show I went to on Friday night.
Okay.
I featured a wrestler called Super Oprah, and she teamed up with Samantha Starr, and they defeated
Super
Grayling.
Oprah?
Yeah.
Like the talk show host.
Yes, but I don't think it was her, but it sort of looked like her a little bit, but it looked more manly. It looked like a transgender wrestler.
I would bet good money that that was not Oprah Winfrey.
Now, was it? Did they portray Oprah in her skinny stage or Oprah in her big stage?
Her larger stage, we yes. like to say.
Heftier.
Probably goes about 350.
That would be her healthier. That would be past the healthy stage into the unhealthy stage at 350. Did Oprah win?
She did, but Samantha Starr is the one that picked up the victory for the team with a DDT.
Hmm. Will this air on the Oprah Network, I guess, is the important question. It's like the WWE
it will air
Network.
On the BAW YouTube channel.
Okay. What else was on the show?
Well, I want to tell you more of what happened with the Oprah match.
Okay.
I got a bloody tampon and hit Ray Lynn with it.
Must we? Let's move on to the next match, if that's the highlights of the Oprah match.
Okay, there was another match with G Raver. He beat Matt Tremont from Combat Zen Wrestling.
It's pretty impressive. A big win.
He used a fireball to beat Matt Tremont. He threw a fireball right into his eyeball.
I prefer that to the finish of the last match. Well, Ryan, I hate to cut you out, but we got to go to a commercial. I want to thank you very much for that call. Ryan's calls, you don't believe them, but then you realize they're all true. Be back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA radio network. Or use Sports Byline 2, actually. Don't use F4W Online. Back on the show, if you want to Skype us today, I sent it out on Twitter as well. We're trying an experiment here. The Skype handle is Sports Byline 2, and that is the number 2. Sports Byline 2, if you want to Skype into the show tonight. The phone number, 855-478-4478. Twitter, I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. And Ed here on Twitter says he was rudely cut off before he could say he will be representing 1F4W, that being Wrestling Observer / Figure 4 Online, at the Shimmer 10th Anniversary Show. That frightens me. What does that mean, he's going to be representing the website?
Hopefully he's not representing my part of the website. He's just representing you or something. Maybe he can represent Vince or Craig. I hope he does not represent all of us.
Connor here on Twitter asks, what time is the show? Right now. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Tony from Virginia. How you guys doing?
What's up, Tony?
Well, I was just wondering, I'm a psychology teacher in Northern Virginia. And I'm trying to teach a unit on yoga after the AP test here in a couple of weeks to help my students relax. And I showed them the DDP video about Arthur, you know, the vet, and his appearance on Shark Tank and everything. My students love him. So I was trying to get DDP to do a seminar in our school or at our area, but I can't get in contact. I've emailed him a few times, emailed his contact person, and don't have any luck in any responses. So I was wondering if anybody, you know, who's listened or if you have any way of contacting them.
Yeah, me.
As far as appearances and stuff like that.
Email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, and I'll see if I can put you guys in touch.
Okay, cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yep, no problem. brian@wrestlingobserver.com.
All right, thank you, Brian. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks so much for the call. All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Matt in St. Louis.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys... one of the fights last night, the heavyweight fight, the referee seemed to be screaming at Anthony Hamilton at one point, and this went on throughout the card last night, and I wonder if this was just something that I haven't noticed in UFC fights, or just because maybe there were some different officials last night, different referees, but seemed to be a lot of talking between the referees and the combatants, mostly to get busy and not just holding the cage or fouling, but just yelling at them to keep busy and more. Did you notice that at all?
Well, it is all going to depend on the referee, and I think it also is going to depend on how the show has gone up to that point. If you've got a show that It's not that exciting a show. There's not a lot happening. I mean, last night, my God, the main card. I guess there were only four fights on the main card. The first one went quick, but the second fight and the third fight on the main card, it was just clinching, 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 clinching. The refs separated. They clinched again. And if I was a referee, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be yelling at the guys to work. The fans, I know some MMA fans don't like to hear this because it's all about the sport to them, but you have got to entertain the fans. You have to. And this is important not just for... it's not even so much about the fans, but if you are always entertaining and you go on a three-fight losing streak, you're going to get another fight. If you have boring fights where you're attempting to win, you know, you're happy to get your decision or whatever, I mean, you lose a couple of fights and they can get rid of you. So it is very important to have an entertaining fight. And I don't know if the judges or the referees, not the judges, the referees, I don't know if they're told by the company. I don't think they are, but I'm sure they recognize as well. You've got to fight. That's what this is. It's fighting.
Yeah, and they do the same thing in boxing, too. It just seems to be, you know, you hear about it more in MMA, but it's, you know, hey, you guys got to work and get out, and you guys got to punch. You know, you can be denied points for stalling or for not throwing punches in boxing, and I'm sure that's the same way in MMA, considering they're using the same 10-point must system, and they're using a lot of the referees, and they've adopted a lot from the boxing world, so... You know, you can't actually lose points for that. You're going to rarely see it happen, and the referees are just going to shout at you to keep fighting. And depending on where you are at too, when it comes to the crowd, even though a lot of, you know, referees say it doesn't influence them, if the crowd is rumbling, you tend to see the referees kind of, you know, unfortunately, sometimes when it comes to guys working on the ground, you know, they're telling them, they're yelling at them for action, even though they may be missing something on the ground where the guy underneath is actually working.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but Jorge Masvidal did an interview with MMAfighting.com, and they asked him if he had watched his fight with Al Iaquinta. And, of course, we not only talked about this, but I flipped my lid about a week ago regarding this Jorge Masvidal fight. This was the fight where raging Al Iaquinta, after winning a decision in a fight that everybody thought that Jorge Masvidal won, Al Iaquinta got the decision, and everybody booed, and he flipped his lid and dropped an F-bomb on the world. How?
Boo me, F you!
Yeah, raging Al. And so I ranted and raved about Masvidal, because Masvidal, he won the first round decisively, and then he proceeded to do nothing. And he sat on his bike, and he did just enough to, I guess, in his mind, win the fight. And so they interviewed him, MMAfighting.com, and they said, now that you've seen this video, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on your performance? What would you do differently? You know what he said, Mike? I thought I was in complete control. Looking at the video, I wouldn't have changed nothing if I was to fight him tomorrow, today, whatever. I mean, come on, dude.
Even if you believe that, just say no comment.
What a stupid answer. He lost via decision because he didn't do enough in the fight to convince
the
judges. That's
like Oscar De La Hoya saying, hey, you know those last couple rounds against Felix Trinidad that I gave away by getting on my bike? Yeah, I'd do that exact same thing again. It must have been the judge's fault. No, it's your fault, dummy.
Tell how you feel, Raging Mike.
Jesus, you know, I need more Leon Edwards type people in my life. You know, did you see that fight last night? I know you didn't see much of the undercard. I didn't see a whole lot of the undercard either, but the 8-second knockout of Seth Baczynski.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a couple left hands and Baczynski hit the ground.
Listen, if you fight and you fight to win a decision and you lose and you're like, oh, well, I'll try again next time. Great. Great. But when you fight to win a decision and you lose a decision and then you unprofessionally walk out of the cage, don't come up to an interviewer or whatever and announce that I thought I did fine. I wouldn't change anything. such an infuriating answer to that. I couldn't
especially when his boss, who has been the boss for longer than he's been his boss, one of his main mantras since taking over the UFC has been, don't let it go to a decision, repeatedly, over and over again, because that's what happens. And if you're going to fight that way, those things are going to happen. I just, and again, like you said, if you are fine with having it go to a decision where, hey, you might win some, you might lose some, fine. But if you take the attitude as if, you know, you wouldn't have changed a thing and you deserve that fight, well, tough.
He also says he doesn't want a rematch with Ally Aquinta.
Good. Nobody else does either.
Says, I could care less for it. If it happens, it does. I beat him the first time. If they tell me this is what we want you to do, we want you to do a rematch for whatever reason, I'll kick his ass again. I'm cleared to fight. He ain't. So I guess in his mind, because he's cleared and the other guy isn't, it is a moral victory, even though he lost.
It's hard to pay bills with moral victories.
You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. It's Matt from Bothell.
Well, hey, from Bothell. I know Matt. What's going on?
Hey, with yesterday being the death of the anniversary of the death of Larry Sweeney, I was wondering if you could tell any memories and stories and maybe the story about how your angle came about, and I'll take my answer off there.
All right. I will. We only got a few minutes here, but man, how did our angle come about? That's a great...
12 large,
oh,
brother.
You know what it was? You know what it was? It was... So we had a subscriber on the message board who decided that he wanted to be a promoter. And so he got a ring and he got his promoter's license. And long story short, I had had Larry Sweeney on the show as a guest. And I guess he thought we had good chemistry. And so he thought it would be awesome to put together a Brian Alvarez versus Larry Sweeney match. And so that's how the whole thing started. It ended up a three-match series. Probably my... they're three of my favorite matches. I can't see they're my favorite matches of all time. But I do remember the final match. I can't remember what DVD it's on, but the final match we did... I'll try and find it during the break. We did a four-way. And Delirious, who is the current ROH booker, was in there. And I really, really liked that match. It was a four-way elimination, and it came down to me and Larry Sweeney. And Larry pinned me and won back his Texarkana title. I really did like that match. And just it's just a fun time. I don't have tons of memories. I have lots of memories of Larry Sweeney, like that one year that he was in. He went to WrestleMania and was just, like, in rare form. But we can talk about that, I guess, a little bit after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. Skype line, Sports Byline 2. And we haven't got any calls yet, so we're going to try at the top of the hour to do a test and find out if that line is working. The phone lines are certainly working, but give it a try on Skype, Sports Byline 2. And if you are having any issues, drop me a tweet and let me know what's going on. Going back to Larry Sweeney very quickly, it is kind of difficult to talk about a lot of the Larry Sweeney memories because looking back, you realize that some of the things that he did that were his most memorable were situations where he was having some real problems. And unfortunately, those real problems ended up not working out very well for him there at the end. But he was a great guy. He was a great guy, had a lot of fun doing those matches. And I'm sure if you go on YouTube and put my name in and Larry Sweeney, you can see some of the stuff that we did.
Yeah, some of the most talented people are the most troubled. You see that in comedy a lot. You see that in lots of different businesses. And his pro wrestling entertainment IQ was Mensa level as far as how he carried himself, how to make himself a, you know, they always, Randy Savage, they talked about it on his documentary. He made himself bigger than what he was. Yes, he was not the tallest guy in the world or anything like that or the biggest, but with everything, with the Macho Man shirt takeoff, with the feather boa, with the glasses, with the fact that he could run his mouth so well, with some of the goofy, you know, the 68 comeback special move that he had. I mean, he just everything about him, he knew how to market himself, and he knew how to present himself in a way that was just, it was absolutely awesome. If you were a fan of Ring of Honor or Chikara during that time, it was really, he was absolutely amazing, and very sad that things took the turn that it did, and he couldn't get all the help that he needed. But just an amazing, you know, shooting star of just incredible amounts of entertainment.
Also got a tweet here from somebody who says, if asked who was the winner in the Ryan from Cumberland versus Hector debate on After Dark Radio, the simple answer is we all were. If you have not heard that show, you can go to AfterDarkRadioShow.com. You can download Friday's show for free. And the very first two callers, Ryan from Cumberland and Hector, and they debate whether Brian Ladd, the alleged psychic, is ruining Ryan from Cumberland's life or not. So make sure you check that out on that show if you've been following that storyline and you happen to miss that.
Hector did his best PSA after school special on Ryan, but obviously it does not seem like Ryan has been listening.
It did not appear to work, but we'll find out more next week when Ryan goes to investigate Brian Ladd in his hometown. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim? Your phone's a little wacky, so get in close. Hello, Jim. Jim, yeah. There we go. Try one more time.
Okay. Virginia.
Okay.
Okay. I heard he had called in.
Oh, this is not looking good. Jim, are you in a different area than usual? Because your phone is going in and out.
Oh, is it? I'm about 30 miles south where you live.
Oh, man. Well, let's try one more time here. Ed called in. We got that much.
Yeah. He was talking about Aja Kong and Shimmer.
Yes.
Okay. Have y'all ever seen on YouTube the, I heard y'all talking about Medusa the other day. You ever see the boxing match that Medusa and Aja Kong had in Japan?
The boxing match. Mike, are you aware of this?
I have never seen it before.
Tell me about it. Will I Google it?
It's real good. Check it out on YouTube. It's real good. He's talking about the Divas Battle Royal tomorrow night. Well, the as far as I can see, the only way you can book it, you got to have Naomi winning it.
That would be my guess if I had to make a guess as to who is going to win. The thing is, it doesn't really matter, would be my... Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go.
Brian, you could get what you wanted out of, you know, possibly Finn Balor at the WrestleMania Battle Royal where somebody new comes in and wrecks shop. I mean, this could be a way, although I don't know how what the powers that be feel about Charlotte right now, but if you wanted to make an impact, Charlotte coming in, winning the Battle Royal, and then going on to challenge Nikki Bella could be a way to go. Although, again, if you just look at how the storylines have been, Naomi should be the winner in this, although she didn't have the best week last week.
I'm watching this boxing match right now, by the way. I have found it. This is part one, and it's 10 minutes long. My God, how long is this match? 30 minutes? So
I doubt it could have been a shoot battle royal or a shoot boxing match because Medusa would have killed her, right? Didn't she? She did a lot of kickboxing, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they're kicking the hell out of each other right now and not selling a whole lot. But yeah, you can find this on YouTube, everybody. Just Google Aja Kong versus Medusa Miceli. Yeah, that is right. You could have somebody from NXT debut. You could have... I mean, from what I've been told, and this could always change, the feeling is that it is very likely that Sasha Banks is going to debut in WWE before Charlotte. Now watch me say that and Charlotte shows up tomorrow on the show. But that was certainly the word that was going around on WrestleMania weekend. Of the two, the feeling was that Sasha would debut first, but she is still the champion, so that would mean that she would be debuting on the main roster before losing her title. So I guess we'll wait and see. Anything else, Jim?
For Mike.
Yes, sir.
Mike, I love to watch Lucha Libre, especially Luchador.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to... Oops, wrong button. I saw something got Maselli. I'm going to have to let you go, Jim, because your phone is a nightmare, but I do apologize for that. I pushed the wrong button, and all of a sudden I got audio from this, whatever this is here. It is not a boxing match, because right now they're down on the canvas, and Aja Kong has her in side control, and Medusa has her foot on the ropes. This is not a shoot. I can tell you that right now.
I like how a banner came up, because I flipped it on, too, where it's... just randomly, it comes up that women's wrestling is a violent and commercial sport.
Yeah, this is, I guess this is supposed to be a street fight, but they're wearing boxing gloves. Although Maselli is wearing a pair of ripped jeans and I believe cowboy boots. Yeah. I'm afraid this doesn't look very good. Maybe it looked good at the time. 1990, All Japan Women.
Things were different.
I'll say. All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas. How are you, gentlemen?
What's
today?
Up, John?
Oh, I'm just fabulous. I couldn't help but overhear your thing about the powers that be and not bringing up Charlotte. I'm sorry. I like the other little girl fine and dandy, but, you know, come on. Let's suck it up. Bring the girl up already. It's time. She's pretty well advanced for what she needs to do. You've already got her in one of your little cute little tap-out campaigns to make the company look all impressive on Wall Street. Let's just bring her up and suck up whatever we were upset about over and let her either produce or not produce.
Well, I think that it's important to note that just because Charlotte wouldn't get called up first doesn't mean she wouldn't get called up second. I don't think that, you know, just because they want Sasha up first doesn't mean that they have no interest whatsoever in Charlotte. It just means that they think that the other one is more marketable right now. And that's fine. Maybe she is. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that you can do with Charlotte. Obviously, they're already doing some things with Tap Out, as you noted. But I don't think it's the end of the world if Sasha got called up first. It's just one before the other.
I know. I'll be honest. I have a little bit of a flair bias when either her or her father are related into anything. So I guess I can't really be objective in that regard.
So does the WWE, I guess, have a bias as well.
That's right. Different kind of bias. But hey, like I noted, yeah. Because I publicly here on this show predicted that Sasha Banks was likely being called up first, I would say there is now an 80% chance that Charlotte will show up tomorrow.
I mean, at least Sasha's got something to do.
Girl is an amazing athlete, and I'm surprised how durable she is. My God, she's freaking tiny. And just the frightening bumps that girl would take in some of her matches.
Well, let me say this. She is tiny, but you've also been seeing her in a lot of matches with Charlotte, who is not tiny. And I think if you throw Charlotte on the main WWE roster, you would discover that, in fact, all of those girls are tiny. I mean, AJ Lee was tiny. Naomi's pretty tall, but you know, you look at the Bellas. You look at who are all some of the
Naomi's thick though too. At least,
yeah. I mean, they're all. I mean, for sure they're all short, but I don't think Sasha is smaller than AJ. AJ was tiny.
When do you see Alexa Bliss?
There's another one.
But I'm ready to see where things are going to go tomorrow. And you know, I'm looking at Sheamus, and every time I watch Sheamus, it makes me want to change the channel. It's one of those things. I don't see any allure behind him at all. And my God, that haircut.
Why is everyone so down on his haircut?
I like the haircut.
Yeah. Does nobody remember what this man looked like before? He was what's his name that uses the stretch muffler? In NXT, just totally blanked. But anyway, someone else got the troll doll gimmick, so I guess they had to give Sheamus the... I think that the new hairdo and the gimmick with the beard looks good. He looks way better now than he did before as an oversized Ronald McDonald.
And even if you think it looks goofy, he's still a heel who's a, you know, it's supposed to be a
he's
major.
He's supposed to look stupid.
Well, that's he's supposed to be a major ass kicker, which he is. So if he's got a silly haircut, who cares? And the fact that everybody hates his hair, I think, is actually, you know, it must be working.
I think that this look is far superior to the old one. I have no idea why people are complaining about it. What
the Sheamus high top fade.
Yeah, come on. Guy looks way better. Tomorrow, as noted, is the Battle Royal. That is the only thing. To think we are in a time period where the only thing they have announced for Raw is a Battle Royal for the number one contendership for the Divas title. It's astonishing. I don't even know what else is supposed to be on the show, although we will all know in advance because they are touring Europe. Finn Balor got a chance to wrestle for the first time as a WWE star in front of his Irish brethren, and they put him in the opener, and then they had Sheamus beat him up and bury him under a flag. I couldn't believe it, but I could.
That just really bothers you, doesn't it?
It does bother me. It actually really bothers me. Like, in any other sport, the hometown guy would headline. I mean, my God, it happens in UFC all the time. They don't go to Brazil and have Anderson Silva work the first match on the show and then, you know, some American work the main event because he's their handpicked star. I mean, UFC has this gimmick now where they go all over the world and they headline with a local guy. And guess what happens? They draw great. It's a well-loved show by the local fans. And instead, WWE's deal is, well, our big stars are Roman Reigns and The Big Show. They've got to be in the main event. And we'll have Finn Balor go on first, and then Sheamus will beat him up because, God forbid, we got to make sure that Sheamus is booed in Ireland on this house show. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, listen to that. Alex Wright's theme. All right, we're going to give this a shot. We got a Skype caller here on the line, Francis, who is in the UK. Yeah, Francis, can you hear me?
UK.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, can I hear you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
No, I want to know, what, apart from like Raw in the UK, always tends to be a little bit lacklusters, as I've seen from previous when they go to the UK. Apart from who would you like to see, any debuts or any special things happen on Raw or SmackDown when they're in the UK?
I want to see the debut of Finn Balor. I've been.
I don't know. I think you need to hold him off for a while. As a UK fan, I like to see him somewhere, maybe down the line, give it his big mania moment. I like to see him probably next 6 months, maybe going up to the main roster.
It probably is too early because we just had Adrian Neville getting called up, but and we do have too many baby faces, and I don't think that he should come in as a heel. But I just
really
think that he's Finn Balor is a heel. I don't think so yet. I think the entrance is too. It's too great an entrance, and the people are too into it. Are you going to the show tomorrow, by the way, Francis?
No, I just went to the house show in Manchester, and it was, like, really good.
What was the main event?
The main event was, Cena was, like, wrestling. Cena was on his main event and won again. It wasn't really that good. The only surprise thing, I saw JoJo from NXT, she was doing commentating, so because I know Lillian Garcia is out at the moment.
Yes, Lillian Garcia got surgery on her meniscus, I believe. Well, listen, Francis, I want to thank you very much for the call, and give us a call anytime now that we got this Skype line working. And we're going to be back in just a moment with more, everybody. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478 is the phone number, and you can Skype us all day today, Sports Byline 2. That is the number 2, Sports Byline 2, and we will get you here on the air. Back in just a moment, everybody, with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, replays throughout the week, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, every single weekday, plus Saturdays. We're here for another hour today, taking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, talking the news, taking phone calls, Skype calls as well. The phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If you would like to Skype us, we're trying an experiment today, and so far so good. The Skype line is actually Sports Byline 2. That is the number 2, Sports Byline 2. If you would like to Skype us today, if you live anywhere in the world, including Nigeria, you know who I want to call in. Sports Byline 2 is the Skype handle, so give us a call. Got a lot of news to talk about today. And Mike, I was looking at some of the results from the WWE Tour Nottingham. The finish was Roman Reigns beating the Big Show in a Nottingham street fight. Everywhere they go, they had a Leeds street fight, a Nottingham street fight. Somebody needs to really get down and figure out what the difference is between all of these street fights.
Or at least they should actually do something different in all of those street fights, something that would kind of play into wherever they're going to be, not just in name only. Like if you have a Philadelphia street fight, I don't know if there's cheesesteaks involved or something like that, but just do something where it makes it semi-special at least.
Robin Hood does a run-in here in the Nottingham street fight.
I guess that could make sense, yes.
You know, after we come back from the break, I want you to talk about Finn Balor, because you had a throwaway comment in the last segment we didn't get to really talk about. That being Finn Balor coming in as a heel, I was arguing babyface just because I think he's got such a babyface, fan-friendly, awesome entrance. I would hate to see it screwed up. But I would like to hear your arguments. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, all these snappy new intros we got on the show today. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Give us a call, 855-478-4478. You can also Skype us today. Sports Byline 2 is the Skype handle. No matter where you are in the world, give us a call. We'll put you on the air. Mike, the discussion we had earlier, we're about to begin. Finn Balor, babyface or heel when he debuts?
At some point, he'll be a babyface anyway. He's just got too much charisma. He's too cool. The entrance is too cool. But if you wanted to debut him and start a feud with a Neville or start a feud with somebody else, I mean, him as a heel, I think you can do that. I understand what you mean as far as the ring entrance is so... It's so dramatic and it's so awesome. You know, I would assume they're using the same one they'd have in NXT. He's got the paint. They've already had the shirts made up for that, which are, you could see all over NXT TV. Anybody that's not wearing a Kevin Owens one has probably got a Finn Balor one on. And I think you can have him as a heel to me. At some point he'll be a babyface anyway, because that's the way people are going to turn him. He's just, again, too much charisma. But if you wanted to bring him up and debut him as a heel, I don't think that's that bad of a deal. It's just depending on who you hook him up with first.
Maybe he could be this year's cool heel. I don't know if that's exactly the best thing for business, but sometimes it works out great. Steve Austin was a cool heel before he was a babyface, NWO, although that certainly did not help the business in the long run, those guys being cool heels. They essentially killed WCW, but they've already got Balor Club, or they're working on getting Balor Club trademarked. That'll be the WWE version of the Bullet Club. Maybe you can. I mean,
Kevin Owens are going to be the cool heels anyway, whether they want them to be or not. They are. They just, that's the way people are going to turn them.
They need heels right now. They don't have enough heels, which is why we're watching the Big Show and Kane in main events all the time. So somebody either has to turn. I mean, you could turn Roman Reigns if you wanted to, although he is doing the feud with Seth Rollins, which you should probably get out of the way first. I mean, think about this. They are in the UK. If you wanted to debut this guy and make sure that he debuted as a heel, he could debut tomorrow in England and destroy Adrian Neville. Him and Adrian Neville have been feuding on the house shows. It is a possibility. So I guess we'll see.
Another example, though, of short-sightedness, if they do decide to do that, because I would have built him up with vignettes. I would have some sort of mystery building into who is this guy going to be. And obviously anybody listening to this show would be able to know who it was. But with them going to the UK, I would have actually, maybe even pre-WrestleMania, been building up little hints that this guy was coming and then have him debut, because the reaction he'd get over there, again, unless you want to make him a heel, because he's going to get probably, I'm sure he was getting a great babyface reaction over there. I would have went that way. And even if you look, even if people were going to babyface him anyway, it still would make it seem like this big major deal for people who don't see NXT or they were unfamiliar with his work before he got to WWE of, you know, everybody seems to be reacting to this guy. There must be a little bit of something to him, especially with the ring entrance and everything else.
John here, who called a little while ago, is on Twitter. Not a fan of Sheamus. We had to let him go when he was in the middle of ranting about him, but he says that Sheamus is this generation's Mark Henry. The project management refuses to give up on, no matter how bad it is. Really not a Sheamus fan. Wow. I mean, I can't sit here and say I'm a huge Sheamus fan, but I don't think he's quite as bad as a lot of people have made him out to be of late. I guess we'll see. He's been gone for a while. Maybe
well,
after...
he's in that group of guys that I think, you know, he and Wade Barrett, and there's, you know, a handful of other guys where it's, to me, I there are far worse guys on the roster or guys that I would like to see far less than Sheamus. So that does surprise me a little bit that he's got that much vitriol for Sheamus.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is John from Portland.
John, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to talk up Paragon Pro Wrestling and their new TV deal. And I think it's great for wrestling fans. And they got awesome talent. And, just really excited about it. I think it's a good – I watched the Dev West Coast Wrestling Connection shows up here in Portland, and they're fantastic. And it's just nice to have a choice in what I watch.
Now the understanding I have is that the Paragon Pro Wrestling deal is a time buy, and that of course means that they would be paying for the time. So I don't know what the economics of this are. Hopefully they can last for a long time. What can you tell us about the promotion itself?
Jeff Manning and Pat Kelly, I believe, are they're the management, and then I think the head bookers are the Grappler and who is the Rock, Mr. Wonderful, the original Mr. Wonderful, but they're old, two old school guys that, you know, bring a lot of that what we used to like in wrestling to the table. They used to be Portland Wrestling and
I know the Grappler. I was once pinned by the Grappler's loaded boot. It's a fact.
Yeah, well, he's got Jeremy Blanchard, and he's got that loaded arm now. He's pretty fantastic. I think they got, what, G3 and G4 out there, too?
I would think that by this point in his life, Grappler's probably got everything loaded.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's good, and I love his shows. He's there. He's working really hard, and I think he's going to do... I think he's going to do excellent with, you know, everything he's got out there with WCWC and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and now Paragon.
Well, Pop TV, everybody, I want to thank you very much for the call. I'll try and get Grappler on this show, actually. I've been wanting to get Grappler on for a while. Heard his book was very good, so we will follow up on that. Mike, did you watch the John Cena interview on the WWE Network, the Jericho podcast?
I did indeed, yes.
What did you think about that?
I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as his interview with Steve Austin. I think that's, if anybody never heard that podcast, or if there's anybody out there who hasn't heard that podcast, I would go back and check that one out. I thought it was very, it was a great look into, you know, a more relaxed John Cena. And he was that way a little bit on the Jericho show, but there was nothing, if you missed it, there was really nothing that you missed. I think probably the biggest thing that came out of it was him, you know, for fans that were unaware, the deal with The Rock, there was a possibility that he would turn heel. And I didn't see the Total Divas episode where he wore some of the gear that he had made in case he did turn heel against The Rock. But obviously that didn't happen. But that was probably the biggest thing to come out of it. I don't think there was anything... brand new, you know, he's a big fan of Vince, and he loved it when he said that Vince told those guys to go out there and grab the brass ring, and I wish these guys in the locker room would, you know, somebody would just grab it. But again, there was nothing special about it at all, really, and not that it was a bad interview from Jericho or anything like that, but as far as if you were looking for something a little bit more inside or something a little bit, you know, looking for a lot of quotes like you got out of the Triple H and Vince McMahon interviews with Steve Austin, it wasn't there. And again, not that it was bad, not that you shouldn't see it at all, but it wasn't, if you missed it, it's the world's going to keep going anyway.
I did think that John Cena came off very, very likable. Maybe not so much likable. I mean, he's always...
No, likable would be fair. I mean, he just seems like a decent dude.
Yeah. Here's how I can say it. I don't ever really find him unlikable. I know that some people don't like his character on WWE, but as a person, I've always found him to be a likable guy. I've met him. I've interviewed him when we went down for the WWE Network unveiling. Very nice, friendly guy. And when I watched Total Divas, it wasn't that he came off as unlikable. He just came across as a guy that in a million years I could never hang out with. Never.
You don't like sports.
He was, no, not even, he's just a robot. But in this interview, he came off as a human, and I really liked the guy, and I could have hung out with him. But we can talk more about this after the break. Phone calls, Skype calls, Twitter, the whole nine yards. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Skype us. Sports Byline 2 is the number. By the way, I want to mention that for the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Mike is back helming the show again. I've got a prior arrangement from noon to 3 every day. And so, Mike, you and Vic, I believe, are going to be manning the show. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's going to be very exciting. What do you got planned?
We have no plans yet. Actually, we do have a little bit of a plan. We may have some random guests on, but I don't want to say anything before it's secured. So, yeah, probably going to be looking at Raw coming up tomorrow, and then Tuesday, obviously, the post-Raw fallout, but we'll see how it goes.
That's right. So that is the next 3 days, everybody. Mike and Vic are handling Wrestling Observer Live. We've got to talk about TNA. Story is now out on the internet about some issues with paychecks showing up late. Here we go again. This was the same issue that was happening when they were on Spike TV. They have moved to Destination America. Still some problems with checks. There are claims on the TNA side that, well, there's this and that. You guys are going to get your checks. But wrestlers, in my experience, don't care what the excuse is. They just want their money. And so I guess we shall see the fallout of this. I can say from talking to a couple of people that if you have been visiting the internet and you have seen stories about this, I can tell you that there is more to come. And there may be a lot more to come, actually, in the next couple of days. I can't really say too much about it right now, but this is a story where there is still more to come. What do you make of this, Mike? Once again, problems with pay in TNA.
The wrestlers are better than me because I'd be getting my money somehow, some way. Maybe I'm taking some monitors home. You can't pay bills off of "we got you next week."
You'd be hiring Homicide here? Kingston?
I'd be performing some homicides if depending on how long it took me to get my check. But it's a sad situation because I know it's not just the wrestlers. I think it's other people as well, too. And it's a sad situation that things are that tight for them. And obviously the company lost a lot of money moving over, you know, as far as production help and all that stuff that they used to get from Spike. They're not getting that from Destination America, or at least anywhere near as much of it. So it's a tough situation all around. They've done this to themselves after 10 years or whatever it's been of just mismanagement and bad booking and bad ideas and bringing in the wrong people. They did it to themselves, but that doesn't make it any less sad for everybody that's involved. And I'm assuming I'm like a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people say, well, okay, kill it dead and let those guys go somewhere else. But it's not like everybody else out there is just rolling in the bucks where, you know, this is a secure paycheck it was a secure paycheck for some of those guys. I know people wondered, why did Samoa Joe stay there so long? Because he knew what he was getting, and I'm sure he was getting pretty good money. And when that didn't happen anymore, he left. But, you know, it's tough for those guys. I feel bad for them, but you know, at the same time, you gotta pay. And you know, after a while, it's going to be guys not showing up for work because you haven't paid me, and I wouldn't blame them at all. It's unfortunate, but I don't blame them.
As Dave noted in the Observer, there's other stuff going on. I don't know for sure, but I believe that they only have Friday now. They used to have like a Saturday morning show, and I guess the feeling was this Saturday morning show is draining viewers from Friday, and so they canceled the Saturday morning show. And if you've been paying attention to the Impact ratings, the Friday numbers have not changed since canceling Saturday. Now, when I heard that they were moving the Saturday show, my thought was, why would you outright cancel it? Why wouldn't you just say that the show is on hiatus for a month and then determine whether putting the show on hiatus increased the Friday rating? And if it turns out it didn't, you just put it back on the air. But instead, they canceled it. I guess just presuming, well, if we get rid of Saturday, of course Friday is going to go up. And that didn't happen. Dave also wrote about the issue of if you've been watching the TV of late, the shows they did in the UK were amazing. The shows that they did in Orlando of late have been much less amazing. The UK shows are bigger crowds. The crowds were into it. The guys were into it. The Orlando shows, it's just a night and day difference. And apparently Destination America wants them to tape in America. It's Destination America. Let's ixnay the overseas tapings. Why would Destination America be airing a show where the shows are being taped in the UK? So there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's more to come out of this, and hopefully everything gets worked out for everybody. Hopefully everybody who has not been paid has been paid by now, but I guess we're going to have to follow that and wait and see.
Oh, God, speaking of America, guess what is going to be on? I don't know how often they do this since I don't have Destination America, but do you know what the programming is for next Saturday on Destination America?
Hopefully the Ghost Asylum.
You got an entire morning and afternoon of Moonshiners followed up at 5 o'clock by a Mountain Monsters Marathon.
Excellent.
Which starts off with the Bigfoot of Putnam County, where they're investigating the Chupacabra possibly being sighted in
the
Putnam County, West Virginia.
Mike, the Chupacabra.
Chupacabra, okay.
Yeah.
I always mix that one up with, what's the big oversized guinea pig? What's that thing called?
The big oversized guinea pig?
Capybara, is that what those are?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Somebody look up a capybara and put a picture up on Twitter.
All right.
I think that's what it's called. Let's see. I'm serious. It looks like
Except
a massive
Ed, because
oversized
he'll spell
guinea
it wrong,
pig.
And then I'll be even more confused. Anybody besides Ed, try and find out what this giant...
He's a massive oversized guinea pig.
He is. John here says, I'm with Mike. I'd be taking something home or selling office equipment to myself.
I don't mean to sound ghetto, but after a while, it depends on how backed up you are. Because again, you know, it's not like independent wrestlers are living in mansions. You know, a lot of those guys are week to week. A lot of those guys, even though they are working on television somewhere, have regular jobs. I mean, at some point, you've got to pay the bills. I'm not, you know, saying, hey, loot the place or anything like that. But I mean, at some point, you got to get yours and pay your bills.
Night of Champions is coming up. And it is April 26th, Allstate Arena, Rosemont, Illinois. It is Extreme Rules, but as I look at the card that we have gotten so far, there is not one stipulation match so far. We've got John Cena versus Rusev for the U.S. title. We've got Daniel Bryan versus Bad News Barrett for the Intercontinental title. We've got Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton for the WWE title. And then we've got Nikki Bella versus the winner of the Battle Royal for the women's title. So right now, this is looking a lot more like Night of Champions than Extreme Rules. I don't know if we've just got a whole bunch of stipulations that are going to be added over the next 2 weeks. I don't know if they forgot that the name of the pay-per-view is Extreme Rules. Why do we have no stipulations for this show yet?
I have no idea. I'm kind of with you.
Has anybody thought about this except me?
I can see... I think probably because, okay, we know the matches we want to have, and this is far earlier than they've probably ever had three or four matches on a pay-per-view in quite some time, the way they've been going. They didn't announce them all the week before and that night. But I have a feeling over the next few weeks on TV, I can see stipulations being added as you go along.
I hate to get away from Night of Champions, but Ed did in fact just send a tweet, and he spelled it Chupacabra. I guess like,
abracadabra, Ed Spelling.
Yeah, I guess like abracadabra. Chupacabra. Close, Ed. I'll give you another shot. What could we do for stipulations for this year? I presume that John Cena and Rusev could be like an I Quit match. Daniel Bryan and Wade Bad News Barrett, I pray to God, is not like a ladder match. I'm concerned about Daniel Bryan in terms of the state of his neck and such, and he's been taken. He mentioned in the Chris Jericho podcast that he did that they yelled at him for the TV match. He had a 3-minute television match with Luke Harper, and Harper gave him a half Nelson German suplex right. I mean, not like onto his back and rolling over. I mean, he got dropped right on his head in a 3-minute television match, and they yelled at him for that. And
good.
I know he's been doing a lot of tags lately, so I'm hoping that he is okay.
Is that the same match where he took the powerbomb into the corner, too?
Yes, that was
the
match.
On the second rope?
Yeah, he was just brutalized this entire match. And I don't know why, but he was. He's been doing six-mans on the road. Nottingham, Daniel Bryan, Eric Rowan, and Dolph Ziggler. What a team. Against Sheamus, Bad News Barrett, and Bray Wyatt. It's a wacky match. Probably a very good match, but wacky. So hopefully they don't put him anything involving a ladder or a chair or anything like that. And Seth Rollins and Randy Orton, I don't know. They haven't built up any sort of stipulation.
I wonder, I guess you could attach a stip to it that doesn't involve chairs or ladders or anything like that. It could be something with the, you know, it could be something tied in with the corporate, not the corporation, the authority or something like that. Bryan and Barrett, yeah, I hope if you add a bunch of gimmick matches on the show, maybe they just keep that one straight. I would like to see just a straight wrestling match between those two. And with Cena and Rusev, on paper, the easiest thing to do would be a submission match.
All right, there actually were not a lot of stipulations last year at the Extreme Rules show, so we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. There was one Extreme Rules match, a cage match, and then a bunch of other random matches. We'll discuss more after the break. Take your phone calls, Skype calls, and more. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. On Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates and tons of radio shows. Every Wrestling Observer Live that you hear is put online for subscribers, commercial-free, within about 5 minutes of the conclusion of the show. Plus, every day, subscribers-only exclusive shows at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike and I are actually going to be back again tonight. Vinny is on vacation, so the Brian and Vinny show is going to be the Brian and Sempervivi show this evening. We'll be talking the WWE SmackDown show, New Japan on Access, play some songs, have some fun, you know, the usual. That, of course, is tonight only for subscribers, and as a subscriber, not only do you get full access to all of these brand new shows, but every show that we have ever done, dating all the way back to 2005, is available in the archives. Over 7,000 audio shows. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. We've got coverage of every single major story of the last 10 years. Just find out when a story took place, go back to that date, listen to us talk about it. Tons and tons of shows. You'll never, ever run out of audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, 35,000 words of news and information every single week. If you read stories online, many of them started in the Observer. You may as well just go to the source, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, archives of the newsletter as well. We have tons of back issues from 1991 currently through 1996, plus every issue from 2008 to today is online as well. You get Figure Four Weekly. There's so much stuff. Sign up for a year. It's only $9.99 a month. Month to month, it's $10.99. And what I always recommend is it's $10.99. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But we've had so many people who have listened to this show, given the subscriber area a shot, and they've never looked back. I guarantee you'll love it if you like this show. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. And as I noted before we went to the break, before we returned to the phones, last year's Extreme Rules, there was only one Extreme Rules match on the show. It was the main event. The rest of the matches were tag matches, six-man matches. There was one two-on-one match. There was one elimination match. And there was one cage match. But it does not look like it's stipulations all up and down the show. There was that WLC match with El Torito beating Hornswoggle. And they had 3MB and Diego and Fernando there as well.
That was awesome.
That was a great, great match. And apparently, I have just gotten word that they will be starting to add stipulations tomorrow and next week. So we will know more after Raw in terms of what they are going to be doing for Extreme Rules this year. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Whoa, what was that?
Hi, this is John from Philly.
John, what's up?
Hello?
You're on the air, dude.
I got it. Hey, I agree. 1099, awesome. Observer is amazing. Anyway, I got a question about Steph and Hunter, and I got a comment about Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar.
All right.
If I can get it in there. So, number one, Bray Wyatt. I saw his interview on Monday, and I just think that whenever I watch him, I think that he's got great delivery. I think his character's unique. It's very different. But it just doesn't seem like he's getting to that next level. And I'm wondering what you guys think, if you guys also agree with that, and what your guys' opinion on is if, like, what you think would get him to that next level. My second question is about Seth and Hunter in the context of, I'm wondering if their absence on Monday had anything to do with the fact that the NCAA basketball game was on, and therefore the ratings were going to go down, and therefore they could say, hey, look, the ratings went down because we're not on the show. So you got to keep us, you know, sort of like a Hogan kind of thing, like a very strategic move. And last point, and I'll hang up, is that I watched WrestleMania 31 with a friend last week who makes fun of me for watching wrestling, which is very common in my life. And I like to say that Brock Lesnar is just amazing because he captivated this friend of mine who hates professional wrestling and somehow made him into a fan because he was believable.
Well, wait till your friend continues watching Raw. I want to thank you very much for the call. Brock is the closest thing to real on WWE, and it's the same thing. My wife doesn't watch any wrestling. She doesn't care one bit, but she's captivated when Brock is on the screen because he's real. And it's been the same thing when I've had other friends over, unfortunately, when I'm watching wrestling. They do get into Brock Lesnar. Very quickly, Steph and Triple H, I don't think that was a strategic move based around the basketball game because it's Triple H and Steph. It is the daughter of Vince McMahon and her husband. I don't think they need to convince everybody that they need to be on television. Not to mention, usually when Hogan tried something like that, he was a little sneakier. Everybody knew the rating was going to be down because of basketball. I mean, it was no surprise to anybody. Nobody in their right mind is going to attribute it to anyone being or not being on the show. It was all basketball. So I think it was just, because she got the Eisenhower Fellowship deal, the Eisenhower Fellowship Scholarship. And so she's going to be traveling to different countries. It may have been something to do with that. They may just really have been on vacation. It was the week after WrestleMania. I don't know, but I don't think it was necessarily a strategic move. And as far as Bray, I've said for months, Bray Wyatt has awesome delivery. And when he has awesome music. And when he first debuted in WWE, his music and his delivery carried him for several months. But here we are, 2 years later, and we've all heard the music a million times, and you need more than delivery. I think people have figured out that he never really says anything in his promos. I'm not even being negative on the guy because the promos are being written for him, and this is what they want the guy to do. It's just a lot of words that he delivers very well. And after a while, it's been there, done that. He's not pushed as a tippy-top main eventer. And so unless you're pushed as a tippy-top main eventer, you're just another dude in the mid-card. That's how it's always been, and how it's going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and if you don't have anything for him, I'm not saying, but yes, I am saying, yeah, keep him away. If you don't have something planned for him that you think is good, you know, the Chris Jericho thing, they rolled the dice on and it didn't work for whatever reason. People rejected that, but he doesn't seem to be a guy that should be just hanging out, you know, running out to the, when they're clearing the ring or something like that. He should be a guy that if you don't have anything for him, keep him off until you do have something good for him, because when it is good, he's great. I mean, with, again, with the whole presentation of him coming out and the lights and his promos when they're focused and the whole, that whole package, when it works, it's great. But if it's, you don't have something great for him, don't stick him in there with the Vintner. Don't have him in some, you know, weak feud against Zack Ryder or somebody like that. Just keep him away.
855-478-4478. We've got a couple of moments left here, so if you want to give us a call, the phone lines are open. Matt here wants to know, what happened to Lacey Von Erich since she left TNA? It's a good question. What did happen to Lacey Von Erich?
Well, after, was Wrestlelicious before or after TNA? I can't remember at this point.
Oh, man. Don't recall.
I don't know. I would assume modeling or something like that. I know that the Von Erich sons are going to be getting, and I don't know if they've gotten NXT tryouts or they're on their way to NXT, but they do have a shot in Florida, I guess, coming up. Kevin Von Erich's sons.
I guess the easiest thing to do is let's find Lacey Von Erich on Twitter and find out what she's been tweeting about. Let's see. One of her, her uncle passed away. That's not good. Only a couple of days till I compete for Mrs. California. And she's got a link here. Apparently she's going to, is this the Miss America pageant? And she has photos here of her getting ready for, Mrs. California.
Ed, calm yourself.
Yeah. This is very, very lovely. Let's find out here. She sent us to a page to vote, and the page is a broken link. So maybe you can help Lacey here by finding out what the actual link is.
Wow. Even the web pages are botched.
That's right. So, and actually, all of these tweets were from 2014. So she has not tweeted in a year. So I don't know what's going on. If anybody knows what's up with Lacey Von Erich, I'll see if I can find something out after the show, but that is very, very weird. So I guess that would have been a year ago that she was getting ready for Ms. California, Mrs. California. So there you go. Also, coming up this week, we've got a brand new Wednesday Night War, NXT and Lucha Underground. You've been watching these shows lately, Mike.
Lucha Underground, I missed this week, unfortunately, because I didn't get a chance to see it on Unimas yesterday, so I'm going to have to try to catch back up on that one. But I did see NXT.
Try. We did talk about the Hideo Itami documentary a couple of days ago on the show, now that I recall. Still, my mind is boggled at what they have done with Hideo Itami. But I don't know. I don't know what you do with the guy, honestly.
It still seemed like, I swear, it's like they had the ending to the Battle Royal just so they could have reaction shots of him being sad. You know, the way that, because that documentary, it was really, that little mini documentary that they did was great.
But couldn't you have action shots or reaction shots of him being happy?
You would figure in front of the kids and everything. But then, you know what, for later on when you do the DVD, you can't have the struggle of him. You know, I was a big star and I came over here and, you know, I was forced to ride in the back of the bus, but look at me. I stepped up in my first WrestleMania. I made it there quickly, and I should be proud about that, but I lost. So now I need to continue to fight back. Unfortunately for him, I don't know what the plans are with him on the main roster. I am, to me, if he's just going to be a guy on the main roster, I would have keep him in NXT, and I would, he and Albert can provide a lot of wisdom to people if they're going to sign people from Japan, that he can help them along, or guys when they want to work, you know, learn more of a Japanese style, they can be there. I mean, you know, obviously Norman Smiley has got some experience in Japan, and they have a lot of good trainers down there and a lot of good people down there. And if his expertise can be helping other people out, I'm all for that, as opposed to him being up on the main roster, traveling around and either not being used on TV or being buried under the ground.
Also, on the subject of the Extreme Rules show, we can actually probably talk about this more tonight when we review the SmackDown show on what is going to be a Semper Vivi Brian and Vinny show this evening, as Vinny is on vacation. We still don't have a match for Roman Reigns. And he's coming off the main event of WrestleMania. And we don't have a match for the guy yet. I
don't think that's a bad thing.
I'm still thinking a three-way. I could be completely out of my mind. But shouldn't the guy who was challenging Lesnar, I guess you don't really have to do that because he was a challenger and he did get pinned. But you would think that a guy would get a rematch at the title. And they're going with Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. We've already seen that singles match. I mean, what else? I can't possibly believe we'd see Roman Reigns in the Big Show again. He just beat him on TV this past Monday. What do you do with Roman Reigns?
To me, you get the payback comes next, and it would be a great time. You know, I don't know how Baltimore will react to Roman Reigns, but let's say it's going to be good. But have him go into payback. It would play into the name of the pay-per-view because he did get, quote-unquote, screwed at WrestleMania, but have him just wreck somebody on this pay-per-view. I mean, I don't know who it is. Have it be three guys. It doesn't matter, but he doesn't necessarily need a match as long as he comes out of it, you know, looking like he kicked somebody's ass.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here with the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, next 3 days, Mike is helming the show. Mike and Vic are going to be taking over Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I will be back on Thursday, when we will be joined by Vampiro of Lucha Underground. Very, very excited for that show. That is coming up on Thursday. I believe we'll have a guest on Friday as well. And, of course, Mike and I are going to return tonight exclusively for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be reviewing SmackDown, as well as the latest New Japan on Access television show, which is going to be a good time. Obviously, over the next couple of days, we're going to have a lot of news up on the website. Raw is being taped early. It is not a live show. It'll be airing on a tape delay, so we'll have Raw results up on the front page tomorrow. Doubtful it will be available before Mike does Wrestling Observer Live, but of course, tomorrow is the Battle Royal, the Divas Battle Royal. The winner gets a shot at Nikki Bella. Would make sense for somebody from NXT to debut in that Battle Royal and win the whole thing. I don't know if that's the case, but since I have openly predicted that Sasha Banks will be called up before Charlotte, I do expect Charlotte will debut tomorrow and win the Battle Royal and get a shot at Nikki Bella at the show. So I guess we'll find out. Mike, you and Vic can mock me throughout the rest of the week if that ends up being totally wrong, and for example, they just have Naomi win the match, which I suppose is possible.
Hopefully they bring back Oksana.
I don't think that's happening, buddy. I don't think that's happening. But hey, it's a Divas Battle Royal, and anything is possible. Anyway, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you all so much for listening today, all of the callers as well. We're going to be back tomorrow with a brand new show every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And, of course, we're here Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Don't forget to check out tomorrow morning's replay, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. Thanks, everybody. The folks at Sports Byline USA, Mike, I'll talk to you tonight, and I'll talk to everyone else soon. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.